Hello and welcome to the Word, bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ every day from the Order of Preachers around the world. Today, from the United States, we have Maria Curtis, a lay Dominican and retired music educator who lives in Arizona. Her preaching is entitled, Choices, Choices, Choices.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Great crowds accompanied him on his way, and he turned and spoke to them. If any man comes to me without hating his father, mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, yes, and his own life too, he cannot be my disciple. Anyone who does not carry his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And indeed, which of you here, intending to build a tower, would not first sit down and work out the cost to see if he had enough to complete it? Otherwise, if he laid the foundation and then found himself unable to finish the work, the onlookers would all start making fun of him and saying, "Here is a man who started to build and wasn't able to finish." Or again, what king marching to war against another king would not first sit down and consider whether with 10,000 men he could stand up to the other who advanced against him with 20,000? If not, then while the other king was still a long way off, he would send envoys to sue for peace. So in the same way, none of you can be my disciple unless he gives up all his possessions. My 7-year-old granddaughter came skipping out of school, excited to show me her new journal. Their teacher gives them coupons when they are making good choices, and then at the end of the week, they get to use those coupons to choose a treasure from the treasure box. She had chosen a journal that said, "Choose to be happy." In today's education culture, we do a lot about reminding students that they have choices to make and that those choices can affect consequences to them. But I wonder, do we do enough to help young people, or even everybody, to understand the difference between conscious, deliberate choices or just random, feel-good-right-now choices? In today's gospel, Jesus cautions the crowd that if they are to be his followers, they must give up their possessions, not just in the emotional heat of the moment, but with a conscious, deliberate choice. He gives concrete examples. A man building a tower plans ahead and makes sure he can do it and finish it and not be held up to ridicule if he runs out of money. A king taking on another army, will he have enough men to overtake his enemy and win the war? Lies hang in the balance with his decision and his ability to determine his choices. Emotions can't be the determining factor. He must look at his resources and plan accordingly. He must make a clear, conscious choice. Do we make a clear, conscious choice to hate our loved ones in order to be a disciple of Jesus? No. Comparing a similar passage in Matthew chapter 10, verse 37, Jerome's biblical commentary suggests that Luke is using a hyperbole to emotionally shock his readers. In Matthew, the wording is, "Anyone who prefers his loved ones to Jesus is not worthy of him." So in Luke, hate must be understood in the sense of to love less. Still, what a cost to follow Jesus, to put him above all else. And Jesus makes it very clear, "To be my disciple, I want you to carefully consider what you are about to do. Look at the builder. Look at the king. They carefully plan and consider their choices. How much more you must do. Because to make a conscious, deliberate choice to follow me will be life-changing. Earthly possessions, even loved ones, must come after our Lord. To follow him means our lives will be consumed with loving the Lord, with listening to him and answering his call. To find our true Christian vocation, what he wants us to do with our lives, to glorify his name. And the amazing revelation is that by being his true disciple, we will end up sharing that love of Christ with others. By putting him first, we will be caring and loving to others, We will see Christ in every face. We've probably all heard the stories of good Christian men and women who spend so much time working at the church that their family lives are in disarray. I don't think that is what Jesus had in mind in today's gospel. If we truly put Jesus first in our lives, our eyes should be open to all those around us. Our compassion will mirror our Lord's. Our ability to forgive will be reflective of God's mercy. Our ability to love will become an unconditional as Jesus' love is for us. It won't be an easy path. It's often true that people closest to us are the hardest to love. Not everyone will be convinced of our sincerity, and selfless giving can be exhausting. But Jesus himself didn't pick the easy way. Great crowds are following him because he has worked so many miracles. He has a captive audience following him with great adoration. And at the height of his popularity, he says, "No one can be my true disciple unless he hates his loved ones." Not exactly the way to keep friends and maintain popularity. But Jesus knew his way led to the cross, and that to be his disciple would often involve pain and ridicule. And that's why he presents us with the facts. Make sure you know what's coming. Are you ready to choose Christ? It's easy to jump on an emotional bandwagon of popularity to follow Christ. But our faith is so much stronger when we make the commitment, knowing that there will be ups and downs, highs and lows. When we make a clear, conscious, deliberate choice to follow him and to say, "Yes, Lord, I believe." Thank you.